see in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes.
Yes, sir.
The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. War after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome, family, to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Monday through Fridays, we have Bible study, 8 to 9 p.m., 1 hour every night. And welcome to this one, beginning of the week. And those who don't know me, my name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of the Bible study and the broadcast that goes 4 to 6 p.m., also on a daily basis. So, tonight, I'm going to continue talking some about the heresies that's going on today of Christianity. Christianity is so divided. Now it's even getting more murkier. I wasn't aware that back in Easter Mass of 2013, articles have been coming out where Pope Francis invoked Lucifer during the Easter Mass of 2013. I'm finding quite a few articles that confirm this. And then, so I think I need to do a study this week on the origin of the name Lucifer and Satan. It has a lot to do with Isaiah 14:12, Luke 10:18, in Revelation 22:16. And it's very significant when you compare these series of three verses with the King James depiction of them, the truth, and then all other Bibles of what they call Isaiah 14:12. And they use this to prove Lucifer is Jesus. You can't do that with King James Bible. They are doing that with all the other Bibles, Freemasons, Jesuits, so forth. It's a technique and strategy they use, actually. That's why it was corrupted to begin with. Lucifer was the name of Satan in heaven. He rebelled against God, disobedient to God, was cast out, his name became Satan. That's what they're taking off on. It's going by the book, exactly. And right now we talk about it. But down the road, we're going to be living it. People are stubborn, man. Stubborn. They want to hang on, ignore, deny, walk away, change subject, watch stupid TV, or put their minds in other places besides where it should be. And now more than ever, Satan's going to distract people. Injury, arguments in families, disease, tragedy, to keep people distracted. People will deny, 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 until there's no more denial. Then everyone will know. But for some, it may be too late. As watchmen, we got to keep going. You got to keep going. And your job, when you have divine appointments, is going to get harder. It's not going to get easier. A falling away is coming. Everybody worried about exactly when. They got the clocks out, got the calendars. What day, what hour? No one knows the day or the hour. Therefore, you be ready now. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And tonight I'm going to talk about some sects of Christianity and some other concepts that are heresy in the Bible, and show you how they think, how Satan is infiltrated into the churches. You know, the mass medication of marijuana, chemtrails, TV, keeps people dumbed down. Video games, all this is in tune with each other to keep the thinking to a minimum and awareness almost to none. The use of the computer screen have reduced the peripheral vision of the amillennials, the millennial generation, and those in the 80s, since they've been using it, the peripheral vision down to the size of a monitor. They no longer have a 180 peripheral vision. It's confined to the size of a monitor on their daily activities. It's like they got an invisible monitor in front of their eyes. Everything they do. Proverbially, keep them focused, but in a different way. Lord, tonight we thank you for having Bible study. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities you give us to be together. Father, to worship your word. Worship your Son, Jesus Christ, through the word. Lord, we thank you for opportunities we have to witness to others. Father, we ask you tonight, give us wisdom, discernment. Father, to learn more about your way, learn more about your scripture. And Father, to give us insight in the coming times, that we may be able to share them. We pray for healing. We pray for others being protected by the blood of Jesus. We pray today for Velda, Lord, that you protect her. and her family. Father, we call upon you to send those warring angels down here to protect our own families. And Father, to guide them to your Son Jesus with divine appointments, insights. Father, we need you now more than ever. For thy will be done. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, past 2-3 days, we've been talking about the heresies of the teachings in the different churches. You'd think that Christianity would all at least be on the same page. Man, some of these aren't even teaching the same book. Literally. And keep changing. Keep adding to. Taking away from. One of the most deceptive ones. They have good information. They have good, some of the preachers or pastors are very intelligent. They have good knowledge of the New World Order. Very good knowledge. Right on up to their own religion, and it gets kind of foggy. That's the Seventh-day Adventist. See, Jesus is not about any religion. They convince their followers that Michael, the archangel, is Jesus. All right, there's a big problem. Because he certainly isn't. They complete the control of the healthcare system in the world. That's their assignment. And most all the politicians endorse Seventh-day Adventists. Obama, Clinton, Bush. Have publicly talked about Seventh-day Adventists. Obama's a pseudo quasi trained Muslim because that's what he's trained to be, but he's not really. That's the role that he's supposed to play. They originated Sabbatarian worship on the Sabbath, Saturday. And Sabbatarians also worship Saturn. And so after the Sabbatarian was the Millerites and Charles Taze Russell. And Charles Taze Russell was Illuminati family. After Charles Taze Russell, Taze came after Ellen G. White, Seventh-day Adventist. And she worshipped Saturn publicly with husband James White. And what would happen was, old White there would go to being in a trance or some kind of channeling with beings from Jupiter. Imagine. Family, that would be fallen angels. And supposedly, she interacted with what was called tall men. That'd be fallen angels. And was told that and said they were beautiful, and we would all go there. She also wrote her own Bible. There's another problem. Five generations. All authors are five generations of plagiarized material from White. And she taught the health care issues. Of course, no eating pork, but in the Bible, it doesn't say that. That make no... That no man judge you for what meat that you eat. Find that 1 Corinthians. Or Sabbath. She believed that humans had sex with animals and black people were produced by having sex with animals. They're racist. It's crazy stuff they got going on. That's how they work. And these things that the people come up with, not to know about them, and some of this crazy theology they come up with and beliefs, people just try to ignore. Mark of the Beast, they say, is Sunday, is the mark of the beast. Worship only on Saturdays. Yeah, that's how they do it. Manipulation. And Saturn Day would be the day of worship, the great deception. And also she said the great deception was into the world was supposed to be in the 1800s. It's called the Great Disappointment. She said that God was wrong. Saturday, they all worship on... Saturdays, they all worship on Saturday. And you had a black brotherhood. Order of the Black Sun. It's really Saturn. And they're trying to hide it. It's all these little things that people don't know about. Like the Mormons. Believe that Lucifer and Jesus are brothers. That a high-level Mormon will receive a planet that they'll be a god of when they ascend. One time I remember talking to a Mormon, and I mentioned this. He said, "Oh, I'm not that high up." He didn't say it wasn't true. He just said, "Well, I'm not that high up." I said, "Oh, okay." You see, that's how they do this. Heavy link with the Freemasons. Now, Seventh-day Adventists also have some additional specific beliefs. Let's see here. Seventh-day Adventists. So it was started about the mid-1800s. And is after William Miller falsely predicted the date of Christ's second advent. Miller actually stated that Christ would return in 1844. When that didn't happen, called the Great Disappointment, Miller sort of alienated himself from the Adventist movement. Then came along Ellen G. White, who was an actual follower of Miller, and she started promoting the Adventist teachings, had visions, of course. Her writings are considered to be prophecy in SDA Church in 1844. And White began teaching the doctrine of what's called investigative judgment. And that's sort of a belief that Christ entered the Holy of Holies in heaven in 1844. And began an investigation of the records of men. And the judgment is supposed to continue until the second advent. But no one can really be sure of their salvation until then. I guess it's like a Christmas present, or not. What draws to my mind is that's closely resembling a belief I've heard lately that you're not truly born again until you're brought into heaven, when your body is actually changed. Well, by this, too late, if you wait to that time. The movement has well over 5 million members, 28,000 churches, give or take, 6 million students enrolled in Bible correspondence courses. It's heavy. Some theologians that do research on this have said that it's probably not as harmful as Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons, but Seventh-day Adventists do teach a number of heresies, which you should be familiar of. And one's annihilation. If there's no burning hell, that you just simply are annihilated. So you go to soul sleep. Is that? Yep, there it is. I saw the research on that one. It's where the soul goes to sleep, like in suspended animation. Suspended animation, like Sleeping Beauty or something. And then the spirit goes to be with God. The body just goes away. Never be seen again. And then when the time for judgment comes, you're waking up like Sleeping Beauty. If you're brought into judgment and you're going to hell, you just wake up, you're judged, you're going to hell. Well, at that point, you just disappear. No problem. But that's not true. The Bible scriptures I've talked about before in the past confirm that punishment is eternal. Life is eternal. So is the punishment. Annihilation would be kind of a reward for so many people, which goes in line with the second teaching called denial of a literal burning hell. We've covered this already last week. So, of course, annihilation they believe in, and also they believe, or they, one of the heresies is denial of a literal burning hell. Another is multiple authorities. The Bible. There's only one authority. It's God. Sabbath keeping. Salvation is through works. And, of course, soul sleep. Now, some of my research, what I haven't been able to find, I found it recently, well, fairly recently, is Word of Faith Theology. That's your Copeland. Joyce Myers. It closely resembles prosperity teaching. Brazier, T.D. Jakes, Dollar, Copeland, Crouch at one time. Word of Faith. It's really a dangerous kind of cultic movement. It's very similar to the New Age message. When they say we'll become as gods, that's what they mean. Even Benny Hinn's another one. I heard him preaching on the YouTube. He's telling people that Adam could fly. If he's also in control of the sky, it means he could fly up there. I heard him say it. And they let you know the power of attraction. Let you know that you have a say in your life. Like cancer. You talk about it, you're going to get it. It puts the believer in the driver's seat, puts God in his own will in the back seat. What that sounds like to me is humanism. Now, they also use about moving mountains, that you could actually move mountains. Well, they use Mark 11:23. In Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou moved, and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. They have a movie coming out about that. Some kid trying to will his father back from Iraq or Afghanistan. And he believes his faith can move mountains, and they try to get him to do it. There's a movie. It's going to come out sometime this year. We're talking some serious humanism going on. In 11:23, Jesus was using a hyperbole in his teaching. It was an exaggeration to give an example, like pluck out your own eyes. Your mother or father, kind of prove a point. He's not saying to hate your mother or your father. She's showing how strong your faith should be. But then again, is it really hyperbole? What about Moses? He didn't move a mountain, but he sure opened up a sea. And did Moses do it? Nope. Speak to the rock, God told Moses. Moses went on his own and said, to strike the rock twice. Disobeyed God, wasn't allowed to go in the promised land. You don't fool with God. But going back to moving the mountain, this is so far-fetched to think if it's God's will. Because Moses opened up the sea. About the same thing as moving a mountain. Oh yeah, they got a Russian scientist that says there's a mountain-sized meteor heading toward Earth, of course. The word of faith made kind of a science of every word teaching you that you can have what you say you have. You call it, you own it. What it does is it puts fear into the believer. It's kind of a legalized word. So if you will, you get to believe in this. The true teaching of Mark 11:23. You begin to doubt your faith. You begin to doubt your salvation because you can't make things happen from your mind. That's how it works. You know, they believe whatever comes out of your mouth, it will happen. So you can't say, my head hurts. I can't see a thing. My back is killing me. Because it'll happen, according to them. And you know, they think that your words are also creative entities within themselves. They have a New Age belief that humanism and man is God. We can do anything. We have our own wisdom, our own life. Word of faith is very similar, that you're in control. It's kind of metaphysical. Metaphysical. Metaphysics. Y'all ever heard of that book called The Secret? Well, it's New Age mumbo jumbo is what it is. A counterfeit, a Kenyan took a principle, blended it to the Bible, like the Book of Urantia. Kenneth Hagin took it and endorsed it, expounded upon it. Well, they're all part of this. Word faith, from the faith comes the words. Well, word faith is centered on words. Very money-minded, materialistic. Money, 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 wealth. All fancy stuff. things I found out was that Hagen Murdoch, TBN, structure don't get in the minds of off Jesus and on your bank account. And your words produces fear, bondage, and legalism. So what's the New Testament about? It's about God loving you. And the truth about sin. It twists the scriptures, this heresy that we're talking about, word faith. It says Jesus to die and be born again. And sin forgiveness helps people through life and eternal life from their teaching that they find out is corrupted. The word faith is always also turned it around, became a gospel. So a New Testament is not a covenant to prosperity and wealth. You kind of die to yourself, put God first of what it should be. And you know, even in your Baptist churches, you got required to get baptized or you're going to hell. You're required to be able to speak tongues. If you don't speak tongues, then you're not saved. Everybody got their own little quirk to it. You just never know. And they got their own little cult groups within the cult groups. Man, those churches are heavily infiltrated. Heavily infiltrated. And you've got other signs. So, you know, when you know these sort of heresies being taught, and people start giving you their beliefs and comments, you can immediately put them into a category of where they're coming from. For man will not endure sound doctrine, but doctrines of devils. And that's coming out more and more and more. It's becoming more out, actually reported and manifesting in people's lives. If you read the newspapers, you ever heard of Anglo-Israelism? That's linked up heavily with Christian identity. It's also called British Israelism. That's why Israel is a colony today. It's a belief that Anglo-Saxon people make up the 10 lost tribes of Israel. And they're the heirs of God's covenant and the promises to Israel. So this belief has lost some weight since the days when the sun never set on the British Empire. British Empire is yet to morph into the old Roman Empire. That's yet to happen. But you know, thanks to Herbert Armstrong, he taught that England is Ephraim and the United States is Manasseh. This kind of heresy is embraced by a great number of people. Did not Rick Joyner say America is not the New Jerusalem? So it means that they had a belief that it was going to be. And you know, the notion that 10 northern tribes are lost is unscriptural. Because Revelation 12, verse 4 to 8, plainly tells us that God will seat 12,000 Jews from each tribe in the coming tribulation. But there is no mention of it in America, England, or either any other Anglo-Saxon people. In fact, these people will be found in verse 9 are totally separate from the Jews. Also, when you look into it deeply, you find there's no scriptural basis for teaching that the 10 tribes will form the nations, Hosea and Amos, the minor prophets. They prophesied mostly to the 10 northern tribes. They declared these tribes would be scattered about the nations. You find that in Hosea 8, verse 10, and Hosea 9, 17, and Amos 9, verse 9. But God himself never said that he would permit them to form independent nations of their own. He's still going to keep an eye on them, under control. Romans 13 stands. Except when the government calls you to sin against God, then you refuse to do it. What comes to my mind is vaccines and Mark of the Beast. Advocates of the Anglo-Israel heresy insist that Jews are the only one that's from Judah, while Israel is the 10 northern tribes. So if you read the scripture at all, you know that that just won't do. Because in Matthew 10, verse 6, Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew 10, 6, he said, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Jesus told disciples, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We never read in the 12 going north and the preaching to the 10 lost tribes. They all preached in Palestine. It wasn't until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he commissioned them to go elsewhere. You find in Acts 1, verses 8 to 9. So then you break down the words of Jew and Israel and are used kind of interchangeably throughout the Bible anyway. It's written in English. And you'll find extensively in Ezra and Nehemiah. Now, Peter there, he was from Galilee. He had about 80 miles north of Jerusalem. About 50 miles north of Samaria. And Paul still titled him a Jew in Galatians 2, verse 14. It says that the author, one particular author, said that the Bible is filled with promises like Zechariah 8:13. And Acts 26:7. Under which promise are 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews. So that word Jew and Israel are kind of used interchangeably at that point. Especially in Israel and Nehemiah. That's one of the reasons why. But eventually, the promises of Zechariah 8:13 and Acts 26:7, I just read you, it'll tell us that all Israel, all 12 tribes, will be restored and saved. And I got a whole slew of other scriptures to confirm this. But these are the real Jews. You know, even in eternity, God will distinguish between the 12 tribes and other nations. If you go to Revelation, Revelation 21:12, it had a great wall, great and high. and had 12 gates. At the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. It's the book of Revelation. And then 24:26. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the north do bring their glory and honor it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all day, for there shall be no night there. Scripture is fraught with kind of examples for the millennium that's coming and for heaven in the future. Did you notice that a lot of preachers don't touch it? For some reason? You heard of Garner Ted Armstrong. He founded the Worldwide Church of God. Garner Ted assisted his father in ways in spreading the Armstrong gospel. He hosted the World Tomorrow telecast. Well, that isn't until the expansion in 1978 for his philanthroping with money and women. Today he heads up his own cult at one time, I know, in Texas. The Church of God International. His beliefs are very similar to those of his father. Family, the heresies are popping up. The last one is what's happening with the Catholic Church. Will be a re-spiritualization of the Roman Catholic Church, re-spiritualized into the New Age movement. Now, if you look at Alice Bailey of Theosophy, or actually, I'm sorry, Helena Blavatsky. And she gave rise to a lot of followers, one of which was Alice Bailey. Externalization of the Hierarchy, she came up with in about 18 books, actually. Channeled by fallen angels, where she got her knowledge. And they're making their position known. Channeling. Appearances. And man, people have no idea inside the church circle. And it's starting to make its debut. An idea is to change the thoughts, characterization of Lucifer and Satan, like real soon. And that's what's going on today, is a recharacterization of Lucifer and Satan. The Pope is the Antichrist, or the false prophet. But in reality, it's the one I've been telling y'all about with Sananda Manuel. It looks like Jesus, we think, looks like. You can look it up yourself, and he's calling himself Yeshua. So first they got to show the Antichrist, false prophet, and then comes in disclosure with Sananda Manuel to come in as a good guy. So this is where Pope Francis comes in. Him openly and outwardly proclaiming to be the Antichrist, a false prophet. It depends who you're reading. He's going to make the great sacrifices of some kind. Because you know that when the real Antichrist and false prophet come in, they're going to be good guys. They're going to fix pollution. Give us a prosperity period. They're all the good guys. And what's being characterized today in Obama, the Pope, and all these are bad guys. Of course, the followers doesn't matter. They're going with them anyway. So if they're the bad guys, then who's the good guys? That's where the fallen angels come in. on a white horse. Well, God's kingdom has no religion in it. It's not about religion. It's about your redemption and your salvation. Is what this is all about. You know, the Illuminati, according to John Todd, for example, created the charismatic movement. And now the charismatic movement came came the rock and roll music. Rock and roll put to a religious front. And the old folks back in the 60s were just about winning out on getting a rock and roll band in America. And what saved it was a charismatic movement. And others that brought rock and roll music to the pulpit. And because it's rock and roll, it still serves the same purpose. Music is powerful. Because you sit there and you enjoy the music or whatever it is. And what it does, it opens up your mind on both spheres, left and right. So you're taking it all in subconsciously. And when it does, it comes out in your body consciously. Quite amazing. And there's another one called Christian Science, and this one is bad news. Christian Science was founded in 1879 by Mary Baker Eddy. And the Christian Science cult is based on the book Science and Health with Keys to the Scriptures. So this book borrows real heavily from the writings of Dr. P.B. Quimby. And Mary Baker Eddy, is the mother of Christian Science. But actually, many have suggested that the father is none other than Quimby himself. Back in our Civil War, Mary Baker visited Dr. Quimby. And we had a great spiritual inflammation after ritual. At that time, she was credited Quimby with healing her sickness. But later, she spoke against him while stealing his ideas and works from her own writings. You think that's all she stole? No. She stole some other things. She raked in large amounts of money from the neighbors at the time of her death because she was worth around, back then, $3 million. None of that money is left to charity. And during her life, Miss Baker ruled the Christian Science empire. Didn't have any internal opposition. But she died in 1910. And the fight then began for an empty throne. You had different names mentioned in this group of Christian Science. You had Miss Annie C. Bill of London assumed control, and Dr. John V. Dittemore, they left the board of directors to support Miss Bill as Eddie's successor. So his board of directors in Boston fought against this effort, and eventually the parent church faded away. Well, bishops today are also unhappy with the Catholic Church. and a little confused about what the Catholic Church is doing, which you already know. So today, your Christian scientists are directed from the Mother Church in Boston. Sermons are already prepared, prescripted, and they're dealt out among us when they preach. Now, there are a lot of heresies they taught. I mean, a lot. They got denial of blood atonement, deity of Christ, all this denial of the Holy Ghost, eternal security, a literal burning hell, denial of that, denial of physical resurrection of Jesus, denial of a literal second coming of Christ. You know, it makes you wonder what they believe in the first place. Denial of sin nature from birth. Yeah. Denial of the Trinity. Denial of the virgin birth. Multiple authorities. And salvation through works. Man, they got a whole lot of denying to do. Lots. Deity of man, made him come as a god. We talked about denials on last week, didn't we? Yeah. Denial of the virgin birth at death, the ecumenical movement, and then asking whether or not we should be brought into it. As a Christian family, it's not about religion. Not at all about religion. It's about salvation. You don't get that through some religion. And everybody protects their pastor, their preacher, this rabbi, the pope, whatever. What's wrong with protecting Jesus in the Word down here? That's how they do it. Now, one of their main attacks is against the King James Bible. And you that use King James Bible, you're a cult group. Did you know that? You're a King James onlyist. Got that? Yeah. So I believe in King James onlyism. Golly. These people are too funny, but it's actually kind of sad. I've had several people block me on YouTube. Oh, you're one of those King James onlyists. I said, well, is any other Bible? They blocked me. This is quite frequent, actually. Well, they say, well, I use several. What do you mean you use several? Well, yeah, when I do Bible study, they say, use King James, which is really good, written really, really well. Yeah, okay. Then they have the New American Standard, every other Bible set in front of them. I said, so you carry that with you when you're going to witness to other people, huh? Anything they can do to get away from the conviction of the King James Bible. Because that Bible is supernatural. And what was the same genre? Was it Roth guy? What's his name? Sid Roth. It's supernatural. Everybody got to see the supernatural. We need to go back to Scripture and find out what Jesus said to Thomas before he revealed himself again. Put your fingers in my hands hither, but in my feet. Now what say you? See, Thomas didn't believe any of the others at all. He had to see him, and then in seeing him, would not have believed it. According to Thomas, that is. He had to put his finger in the hole. He would not believe it. Did they not travel with Jesus the whole time? See him raise Lazarus from the dead, the little girl from the dead, heal the blind. He said that ye will do greater than I. Now, he didn't mean you're going to do greater miracles. He means you're going to do a larger number of them. Because he had to leave them and go to a place where he'll prepare for you. He'll prepare a place. If he says he was, then he did. Well, we're coming to the end right here. I'm going to talk some more about the heresies tomorrow. And anything you want me to talk about, give me an email. Let me know ahead of time. A little bit ahead of time anyway. We'll talk about it. So, y'all, let y'all know, we're played up at highportradio.net. Highportradio.net. John Kirkler. He's in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He has sponsors in those three states. And you can check the sponsors out from his website and use those sponsors. Check on the website every now and then. And listen to my broadcast. I also have my own, watchforjesus.com. And my Facebook, Watching for Jesus, and my archives are ran randomly on a loop that is part of the broadcast network I have. So it runs my broadcast 24 hours, 7 days a week on a loop when you go to my website. Well, I want to thank you all for coming by this afternoon. And we'll continue on tomorrow. Anything else you think I might need to talk about? You know, we got Mary worship. They're really kicking off. And Freemasonry, I can talk about that tomorrow. And we'll just bundle. We'll get right through it. Just close in prayer. And then tomorrow, I'll see you at 4 o'clock for the broadcast. And I will be hitting the ground running. Something they say again. Here we go again. However, say something is planned for around the Christmas time. Extra lights in heaven. Something, I don't know what. One of these are going to hit one day. That's why I don't get into prophecy. And the only way I get into prophecy is if God himself or an angel appeared in front of me and it scared the dickens out of me and say, this is a prophecy, then I might believe it. Other than that, I talk about what insights I have in my heart, which may be where it's coming from anyway. Because the Holy Spirit will talk to you, and I trust that. But you understand the difference here, what I'm telling you. I don't get into prophecy. In 2 weeks, this is going to happen. I'll tell you exactly what it is. I don't get into all that. Unless I just know 100%, beyond a shadow of a doubt. But still, God does talk to you through your intuition, your judgment, and decisions you make. And whether or not you're whether you're living a righteous life, guarding your thoughts, and repenting. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight for this Bible study. Father, we raise your name up above all. Father, we call upon you to give us these words. Give us divine appointments. Give us opportunities to fulfill thy will. Lead us on the right path. Show us which way to go to lead away from destruction. And Father, opportunities to lead others in the right path. Father, to touch people's hearts and heal them. Touch people's souls to give them the rest. Father, we pray for people this holidays, that people will wake up to the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and the King James Bible. Guide us in the future, Father, this week, as we have more Bible studies and broadcasts, and to lead us through it. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, family, we're going to conclude tonight. And you have any comments or recommendations, thoughts you want me to talk about, send me an email, and we'll go through it. Anything you might want me to touch? I look at the part of my research I got on Mormons. Wow. They got all kinds of the polytheism, salvation through works, church theory, multiple authorities, and a whole list of denials. Whew. That's an afternoon in itself right there. Well, y'all have a good night. And we're going to conclude here. And I appreciate y'all dropping by. So y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock on the Watchman for Jesus program. Have a good night. God bless.
I am with you every day to the end.